a great revival broke out, not only in Shanghai, but in other parts of the country. And this continued on for several months until something very sad happened. We were new at this matter of what today call baptism of the Holy Spirit. We were new. We were very ignorant. We did many things that were not right. And because of that, some tragic things happened. And when these tragedies happened, we went back to the Lord and seek the face of the Lord, and thank God we learned a lesson. And the lesson was, Calvary precedes Pentecost. The cross precedes power. If our flesh is not dealt with, it is dangerous to put power in the hand. But if our flesh is dealt with, then it can be used to the glory of God. And that is the lesson we learned painfully at that time. In 1937, the Sino-Japanese War broke out. In the middle of 1938, Watchman Nee went to London to have fellowship with Brother Sparks. I have to take your time today. I have to finish it. And while he was there, he had sweet fellowship with T. Austin Sparks, one of kindred spirit. And from there, he was invited to go to Denmark. And it was while he was in Denmark that he gave these messages, now known all over the world as the normal Christian life, sit, walk, and stand. These were the messages he gave at that time. In July 1939, he returned to Shanghai. It was during the wartime. Recognizing that the war will be long, and the financial needs of the workers will be great. So he felt, and there was other circumstances that brought him to that decision. He went into business. Pharmaceutical firm. He was hoping that the profits of that firm might be used to help the fellow workers. You know, in China, the fellow workers suffered greatly, even in ordinary days, in financial supports. And in war, of course, it's even more difficult. One of my fellow workers starved to death because we felt we will not tell anybody our need. Only God knows our need. Some fellow workers drink waters for many days. So Brother Lee was burdened. He went into business with good intention. But this was a dark spot in his life. After some time, at the end of 1942, the responsible brothers in the assembly there in Shanghai asked him to cease his ministry there. They were not let him speak. He told me, I believe in the sanctity of the church. So he retreated. He retreated to Fujian, to a small hill called Kulin. Not the Kulin, famous Kulin mountain in central China, but the Kulin hill outside of the city of Fujian. And there, he quietly prepared for the future. He began to buy some houses with the intention of training young workers in the future. During those days, he suffered isolation. He suffered quietly. The work of the cross went deeper into his life. He will not explain. He will not defend himself. And his ministry, these hidden years from 1942 until 1948. But those were the years that God was doing a deeper work in his life. In April 1948, the war was over, he was invited back to Shanghai to speak to the brothers and sisters there. At his first address, he said, I am like a widow who had many children. And in order to support them, I remarried. But my children all rejected me because of that. And he broke into tears. All the misunderstanding disappeared. There was no need to explain or to defend. And a spirit of unity returned to God's people. I was there. Then Brother Lee began to do what he felt it was his life work. He began to have trainings. So in 1948 and again in 1949, there were two sessions of training. Workers, young workers, promising people, responsible brothers and sisters, were gathered together in that mountain for 4 months of intensive training. The training will be from morning till night. Three sessions each day. 3 hours each session. Brother Ni would speak 3 hours in one session, and another 3 hours in another session, and another 3 hours. Those who attended that training will each give their testimony, and they try to help one another after the testimony to point out any weakness. And finally, Brother Lee will in all faithfulness telling that brother or sister how he felt before the Lord something need to be corrected in that life. And it was almost prophetic. The second training session during the progress of the second training session, of course, we know the political situation in China changed. The communists came over China and they barely finished, by the grace of God, the second session. And then Brother Lee came to Hong Kong. I was there. We were together for a few months. He felt it was his duty to return. We all tried to persuade him not to go back. He knew what would happen to him, but he felt it was his duty. He had to go back. So he went back. During the first year and a half, there was no interference. The work in China grew by leaps and bounds. But in April 1951, the government gathered all the Christian leaders to Peking and explained the government policy concerning religion. And the explanation was, according to the provisional constitution, there was freedom of religion. And freedom of religion was there. But this freedom of religion is the privilege of the citizens of the People's Republic of China. In other words, if you are a reactionary, anti-revolutionist, imperialist, enemy of the Republic, then you have no right to the freedom of religion. And immediately, everybody knows what it actually is. In April 1952, Brother Lee was ordered to go to Manchuria for some reason. And while he was there, he was arrested and put in prison in Harbin. From 1952 to 1956, the communist government prepared materials to accuse him. It wasn't until February 1, 1956, that the government for the first time officially announced the arrest of Watchman Nee. In June 21 of that same year, he was brought back to Shanghai to be publicly judged. He was accused of many crimes. One of them was, he was the master spy of aspiring the cult. In other words, every assembly is a cell. There were over 1,000 there in China. I was told during that public meeting, when he was accused of his many crimes, he stood there saying nothing. But when they accused him as a master spy, he denied. He knew that that was, that will be, the crime for him. Because there was supposed to be no religious persecution. he was sentenced to the maximum of 15 years, and later on extended 5 more years to 20 years. He was imprisoned in the first municipal prison in Shanghai. Put in solitary confinement for a certain time, nobody was allowed to see him. After a long, long while, his wife was able to see him once a month, always under watch. He was given the work, prison work, of translating scientific articles in periodicals and books from English to Chinese. That was his work in the prison. Many people ask him anything, any spiritual writing coming out from the prison? None. He was not allowed to. Before he went to prison, while I was with him, back in the 30s, he developed a severe heart trouble. He was born with a heart smaller than normal, but his heart enlarged double the size. Many nights he sat there. He could not lie down. Oftentimes he was in agony before he stood up to preach. But the Lord kept him and kept him through 20 years of imprisonment. In January 1970, he was removed from the first municipal prison in Shanghai to the White Cloud Mountain labor camp in Guangzhou, Anhui. His wife passed away in September 1971. And in June 1st, 1972, the government notified his relative, his sister-in-law in Peking, to go there to gather his ashes. Nobody knew how he died. He was supposed to be released in April 1972. And we were told, we heard, that they were going to release him. But we heard they still wanted him to write a confession, which he refused. We know nothing up to now of how he died. But one thing we do know. After he died, we received news that our brother was faithful to the very end. Thank God. Dear Heavenly Father, we have to tell thee that thou art worthy. Thou art worthy of all the deaths of thy saints throughout the centuries. Thou art worthy of all the living martyrs throughout the centuries. Because thou art worthy. Thou art our God, our Lord, our Master, our love, our King, our all. We do pray that thou who art able to form, mold an earthen vessel to thy heart's desire, Lord, thou art able to do it to each one of us here. Lord, we pray that thou will remove from us all the resistance and oppositions that thou mayest be able to mold us and fashion us according to thy will and to thy good pleasure. May thou be glorified in the church, in Christ Jesus.